Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. It is Friday, and when we left off yesterday, Thursday, I summarized the book of Job as such. The message of the book of Job is not so much how to respond to suffering, but rather how to repent. Let me say that again. The message of the book of Job is not so much how to respond to suffering, but rather how to repent. To know what true repentance is, read Job. Read all of Job. Consider Job at the beginning, the middle, and now at the end. We have watched and listened and looked at the man who is before us now. He is a repentant sinner. The message of the book of Job is not so much how to respond to suffering, but rather how to repent. This makes Job invaluable to us in an age where repentance from sin is so badly needed. As Job's story ends, we find out that after his repentance and as Job gained a proper perspective on God, repentance results in a reward. This is Job chapter 40 and verse 10. The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. Here there is reconciliation between Job and his first three friends. Job prays for them. And that is what happens when we truly repent of our sinful pride and self-righteousness. We begin to pray more for our friends and foes. When we understand how sinful we are and how much God has forgiven us, then we are always more willing to forgive others. We are very generous with our forgiveness. But when we are swept up in our pride, we will not pray for others. Instead, we will actually, quietly, privately, cheer on their failure. Oh, that God will humble us so that we will repent of our sin like Job repented of his sin. So there is the reward of reconciliation, and then there is restoration. God restored Job's children. Now he has 20 children, 10 in heaven and 10 on earth. Let me read verses 12 and 13. This is Job 42, 12 and 13. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, and he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 female donkeys. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. That is the reward of restoration. And now as the curtain begins to close for the final time, I read to you Job chapter 42, verses 16 and 17. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his grandsons 4 generations. And Job died, an old man and full of days. The curtain falls. The end. Repentance ultimately results in a reward for Job. There is the reward of reconciliation and restoration. What an ending! As the curtain falls on Act 3, Scene 2, we stand from the audience to applaud. This is a real-life story about a real man in a real historical setting, and the book of Job speaks to us all these many centuries later. Job is very applicable to you and me. Friends, after we stand in applause and as we reach for our things, leaving behind our seats for the final time, as we make our way to the car, the bus, and the train, however, we will get home from the theater, let's discuss one of the most significant, penetrating aspects to the character of God emerging in the book of Job. This will be how we end our study of the book of Job. I have promised this, and you may have wondered when we would get here. Well, here we are. What we want to talk about in the days ahead is this. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. The matter of God being sovereign always comes up when we study the book of Job because we want to know, how could a good and loving God allow for this kind of suffering in the life of one of his most faithful servants? And you may or may not remember that way back when we first began, I read from Job chapters 1 and 2, when God says to Satan, quote, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Here is how I commented on that way back in the introduction. I said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" What kind of a question is this? I'll tell you. This is the question that answers any question you have ever asked when you suffer as a servant of the living God. I repeat, this is the question that answers any question you have ever asked when you suffer as a servant of the living God. I said, when we learn what God means by asking this question, we will have learned something extraordinary about the character of the living God. And what I meant is that we would learn about God's sovereignty. We would learn about the sovereignty of God. So now, linking the beginning of the story to the end, let's do this. Now, because this is Friday and I prefer not to launch into the heart of my content, only to then have us forget it over the two weekend days, what I'm going to do is give you just a brief introduction, kind of getting you thinking about what is meant by sovereignty. In my experience in churches and talking with Christians, I regularly get the sense that believers do not really know what is meant by sovereignty or by saying, God is sovereign. Sometimes this is stated as, God is in control. And it comes up often in public prayers. Maybe your pastor has recently prayed about this coronavirus outbreak. Something like, God, we know you are sovereign. You are in control. And as you watch your pastor on live stream from home, you get the sense that the pastor means this as reassuring and positive for you. The logic is, since God is sovereign, since he is in control, then you need not fear the virus. So by sovereignty, do we mean control? Can I define the sovereignty of God by the control of God? Is God's sovereignty and God's control synonymous? Well, that is certainly possible. And yet, this raises questions. For example, sticking with the coronavirus, if God is in control, then God is in control of the virus. And if he is in control of the virus, then did God invent it and unleash it? And if he did, then he can take it away, right? He can stop it from spreading. He can keep you from getting it no matter what you do. Wear that mask. Or do not do, keep the mask off and go out into the crowds. These will be questions that thinking people wonder about. I know many sound-minded Christians that ask this, and of course, many unbelievers who want to know, if you say God is sovereign, God is in control, then why does God not put an end to this global pandemic? And that's only one example. And I find that if we are not careful about defining our terms, such as sovereignty, then we can confuse a lot of people. Now, you might be thinking, really? I talk about sovereignty all the time, and I've never had a problem. It's just part of my vocabulary, the sovereignty of God. Well, fair enough. It's like this. You have used it so much that you feel like you and everyone you know understands what this means. Maybe no one has ever asked you about what you mean by sovereignty. This happens to spiritual leaders all the time. On we go with certain terminology without explaining what we mean with it. Something that really helped me to think about always defining my vocabulary has been pastoring cross-cultural congregations. As most of you know, who listen to this podcast and radio broadcast, I have been a pastor in Hong Kong. Living and ministering there for over 20 years, I have learned that when I speak in English to a congregation made up of Cantonese Chinese speakers, Tagalog Filipino speakers, those who speak Bahasa Indonesian, Mandarin Chinese, and a host of other languages, defining what I mean with English words is of great importance. And this is even more important when we translate the Bible from the Hebrew Old Testament and the Greek New Testament into English, or any other language for that matter. What do the words actually mean? If we get the meaning wrong, then we have an impression of what the Bible is saying that's inaccurate, and that is problematic for establishing truth. This happens all the time, people making the Bible mean what they want it to mean. So with my cross-cultural experience of teaching the Bible to non-native English speakers, I have become pernickety about words. Pernickety. What does that mean? See? Even in the English, we need definition. Pernickety means placing emphasis on minor details, to be exacting and fussy. Oh yes, that's me all right. I want to make certain I am communicating with precision what a biblical word means. This probably drives some of you crazy about me. Too much detail, you complain. Well, try being me, living in my mind. It is not easy, friends. I say all of this to say that when I come to a word like sovereignty, I will not accept it on the use someone else has for it. So that when I am in some venue, like church, and I hear the pastor say, God is sovereign, God is in control, I want to raise my hand and ask, what do you mean by that? Can you define this for me? Of course, I do not actually do that. The social norms prohibit it, but that is what I feel like doing. On Monday, when we get together again after the weekend, let's define what I mean by the sovereignty of God. God is indeed sovereign, and we will explore his sovereignty in the Bible, yes, and in passages that take us beyond the book of Job. We will do some cross-referencing again. That is, we will go back and forth to other texts in the Word of God and examine them in the light of Job's experience with God. And lest you think, well, that sounds too heady for me. This is going to be too theological and impractical. Think again. The sovereignty of God is much more practical than you might imagine. It may be a big word, but it can be explained in simple ways. The truth is, everyone in this world experiences the sovereignty of God every second. And that is whether we acknowledge the God who is sovereign or we do not. Monday is even a good day to invite people who are not Christians to listen as well. So enjoy the weekend and then join me Monday as we continue to discover who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.